Hello and welcome back to Sunday Roast, the weekly podcast where we share all our foodie views and the foodie news. Cara, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, Al. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Last ep of the season. What are you drinking to send us off?
A Sainsbury's special £5 brandy-based Aperol. And oh, it tastes like something a nana would drink.
Strange mix for Aperol.
It's just not sweet enough. It's like an orangey brandy liqueur. Do you know what it's actually like? It tastes like Cointreau.
I bet they've gone, the millennials love that Aperol stuff. How can we market to them in the winter?
I actually think it's like an old lady drink, a bit like ginger wine.
I've never heard of ginger wine.
Is like an old lady, like ginger flavored liqueur, and I think it's like that, but they've tried to like spruce up the bottle and like sell it as an Aperol, forgetting that it tastes like an old lady ginger wine. I quite like old lady drinks though, so I'm all right.
You're sipping away on that.
I love that heady musk.
Heady musk.
I like it dark. I like it spicy.
I've gone for the old Ahucks classic, a pint of vodka tonic.
Fantastic.
I got a pint because I don't want to get up and get another drink.
That's very fair. So that does mean you'll have to get up and have a wee, but it's yeah, only okay, half maybe. The amount of stairs.
Living at the top of the tower, you've got to pick your battles. Shall we talk about what we've been eating?
Yes, I'd love to. Can you start this week, please? I'd like to hear all about your food.
Yep. I have such a motley crew of food items this week.
It's my favourite kind of crew.
For one, this is a game changer. Sainsbury's giant corn.
What do you mean giant corn?
You know, there's that brand Love Corn, and it's a similar thing, except these are massive, and like you can't eat them as quickly, therefore making them better. Because the only thing with Love Corn is you feel so ripped off because like you can literally inhale the bag and then it's all gone.
Honestly, with the Love Corn stuff, if you really needed to, you could like rip it open and pour it down your gullet in one go and swallow it like a family of birds. Like it would not be a difficult thing.
Yeah. Whereas these, you've got to take your time, otherwise you'll break your teeth. Mm. And for me, that's something I look for in a snack. But yeah, they're like these giant roasted sweet corns in like spicy red pepper flavouring stuff.
That sounds tasty.
So yeah, big fan of the big corn. The other thing, I'm sorry because this sounds like Joe Rogan material, but I had such a craving for buffalo wings this week.
No, we won't have this. We've talked about this before. One of our brand values at D&D is that burgers and meat and like ribs and wings are not just for men in basements.
That's so true, actually. I need to get rid of the shame.
You should own your wing obsession.
I love it. It's because I'm like the sour queen in every aspect of life, but also mainly in food. I just love that like sour sauce. It's like nuclear waste. What's in that? Do you know what the flavour of it is?
What, buffalo?
Yeah.
Vinegar. Often they put pickle juice, I think, in buffalo sauce.
It's all making sense now.
I've put pickle juice in something this week. I'm going to tell you about it later.
I await in anticipation. So yeah, did a meat liquor Deliveroo. They were doing 3 for 2, so I had about 24 buffalo wings.
You just got wings?
Yeah, I didn't eat them all in one go.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
But I almost ate them all in one go.
I ate 22 of them all in one go.
I saved 2 for like a late snack. And then also on the spicy hype, I thought I would mention 89 Degrees, which is a hot sauce I've been using.
This is a very spicy week from you. Spicy corn, spicy wings, spicy sauce.
Yeah, I've got such a craving at the moment. I wonder what that is.
It's because it's cold.
Yeah.
And it's just comfort food, isn't it, for you?
I'm just like, I can't go out and cause havoc, so I'll cause havoc with my intestines.
Yeah. Would you would you put this hot sauce in a Bloody Mary?
I'd like to try because one of the ingredients in it is pineapple. So it's got like that little bit of fruity
tang.
And it is really hot. I like to think my tolerance levels are like mid to high tier tolerant. This stuff is hot. It's independently made. And I just thought I'd share the story behind the brand because I thought it was really cool. Made in homage to the creator's granddad, Ruben. And he wanted to honor his memory in a unique way. And the story goes, in his youth on the island of Antigua, he was playing a game of cricket. And in the game of cricket, he was the last batsman for his team who were down. And he turned the game around by scoring 89 runs.
Oh, wow. Where did he put it? Into the sea?
And no one had ever seen anything like it. So the number followed him all his life. And so his grandson, Darren, created 89 Degrees Hot Sauce, which is made, I believe, in East London.
That's very cool.
But yeah, I've been putting that on everything at the moment. My favourite is scrambled eggs and hot sauce.
Delicious. 10 out of 10.
I think the website is being redesigned, so back up again next week, but we'll leave a link in the notes.
Lush.
Cara, have you had a slightly less spicy week? What have you been eating?
I actually have had a slightly less spicy week. I've had some spicy things, but not a lot. I made the like Ploughman's of Dreams the other day for my lunch, which I sent you a photo of. And actually, I think I posted a photo of it because it was so good. I hate to bring them up so early in the podcast, but I got something from M&S. I got a cheese thing from Marks and Spencer's. To be fair, I'm going to defend myself. Normally, we're slagging M&S right off and being like, leave that pig alone. This week, I'm being like, thanks so much. And I got this, like, it's actually, again, with the M&S, it's so niche. It's such a tenuous link. It's like a Halloween cheese fondue. And if you're thinking, how? The answer is, the cheese is in a cauldron. So they made ceramic cauldrons that have like a cheese cider, like rarebit kind of vibe fondue in it that you then take the plastic off and you bake in the oven and then it comes out like all bubbly in the cauldron.
It didn't look like a cauldron.
No, because I took the picture from above because it kind of looked weird because it's in a cauldron.
Were you ashamed?
No, I wasn't.
Cauldron shaming.
No, I'm not cauldron shaming. I promise. You and your cauldron can love who you want and be who you want, but it didn't fit with the vibe of the meal.
You were saying classy charcuterie, but the cauldron was saying, "Let's do the time warp again."
Literally was. Do you know what? They do it normally in normal pots, and it's called like Cornish Cruncher Bake. And it's like just a really strong, like mature cheddar mixed with some cider, like into like essentially like a cheese sauce that you put in the oven. But they were reduced because obviously it's not Halloween anymore. So it was cheap. And now I've got the cauldron pot for next Halloween, which I've like, I'm a compulsive goo pot hoarder. So I'm very pleased.
Or alternatively, some spells you might want to do.
Yeah, if anyone's got a boyfriend they want hexing, I'm your gal.
Your DMs are going to be flooded.
Flooded, being like, please, this man was once rude to me at a bus stop. Hex him in your tiny cauldron. God,
there's not enough tiny cauldrons in the world for all the men that were rude at bus stops.
But the cheese was delicious. And I had it with some Serrano ham and some fresh sourdough. And then I made an apple and celery salad with Dijon mustard and walnuts. And it was great.
It looked like my dream lunch. And I was jealous.
And then obviously I had a little pile of cornichons.
Mais naturellement.
Yep. Pickle princess strikes again. Another dinner I made this week, which was brilliant, was I made like a cod chorizo and butterbean bake, which was really nice. I did like a roasted off some potatoes and some shallots, and then I added in some chorizo, and then I added in, now this is maybe people don't know about this, but often in supermarkets, rather than getting chopped tomatoes, you can get tins of what are called tinned cherry tomatoes. And honestly, they are so great because they're mainly whole cherry tomatoes with just like a little bit of sauce.
Mm-hmm.
So they're so good for when you want like something like chunkier, but tomatoes aren't in season.
Because
at the minute, cherry tomatoes aren't in season. So I put in a tin of these like cherry tomatoes and some butter beans and paprika and garlic and like some oregano, loads of salt and pepper and olive oil, and baked that for a bit. And then I put some fillets of cod on top with some lemon zest and baked those for like 12 minutes more. So it was kind of like Spanishy vibes, but the potatoes were like crispy on top and soggy and tomatoey underneath. And it was just like chorizo we heaven. And on top of it, I made a parsley gremolata.
Remind me what gremolata is.
Gremolata is like a sour sauce, like herby sour sauce. It's a kind of a bit like salsa verde. To be fair, it was more of a salsa verde than a gremolata. It was like lemon, parsley, because I think gremolata normally has breadcrumbs in, and this didn't. Mm-hmm. So actually, I take it back. It was a salsa verde, people, because it had lemon, parsley, roasted garlic, and pickle juice in it. That was what I felt like.
There she is.
There she is. So yeah, instead of putting vinegar in it, I put pickle juice in it, and it was bloody brilliant.
Repurposing queen. That sounds amazing.
It was a good tea.
I love butter beans with cod. I love that pairing of flavours.
Yeah. Should we review our Christmas sandwiches of the week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's been a wild one this week.
It's been. I'm so excited to tell you about mine. Today I've done an 8-mile round trip for mine on foot.
Sorry, can everyone just... The dedication to this podcast...
That's like a third of a marathon. It's not. If I just keep doing it, I'm going to have done like a sandwich marathon. But Paul's the Bakery have a Christmas baguette that wins like awards. And like, when I say awards, I don't mean like Oscars. I mean like Time Out's Christmas Sandwich of the Week award. Like any listicle about Christmas sandwiches, this is always super near the top. And I get the hype. I really do. The like ingredients were very good. So picture, if you will, a baguette. However, this is not just any baguette. This is a sage and onion baguette. So it is a baguette with like sage and onion flavour worked through the bread mix. There were like little bits of crispy roasted onion vibes that it flecks through it.
That's like a marble counter in baguette terms.
Oh, I would lay my whole kitchen with it. which, to be honest, I can't lie, the baguette was a high point for me of the sandwich. I would have happily just had a bag of the baguettes and some like really good salty butter and just dipped it. Then inside it, you had turkey, which was great quality. Very moist, very juicy. Still had the skin on it, so it had like really nice flavour. A bit of bacon, which was great. Some cranberry sauce, great. Here is where, for me, it gets less winning. It has spinach in.
Oh.
I'm just not arsed. There's nothing Christmassy about spinach. Don't feel like you need to include a green in a Christmas sandwich. I'm eating a foot-long double pork monster. Don't at me with five individual leaves of spinach and pretend I'm getting my one of my five a day. I'm not a moron. I know I'm not.
Don't at me with leaves. It's so good.
The other thing is, it has a horseradish cream cheese sauce.
That's a whole filling.
I think it's another meal.
Yeah, that's two sandwiches competing.
I don't want to be rude, and I'm not here to say that you can't eat this with this, but horseradish goes with beef traditionally because it's such a big flavour, whereas turkey's kind of not. I found myself wishing that I could scrape out the horseradish because it was taking the edge off the baguette, which was why I was there.
The baguette was the star of the show. You don't need like a overzealous extra piping up.
No, it was a bit of like a stage mom of like like waving from the wings. You could hear it on stage. Like it was like a lot. Do you know what? It was good. But it's still not my winner. Horseradish needs to know its place. And its place is with a rib of beef.
So I went for the Sano's our ultimate Christmas feast.
Mm.
As an aside, they've literally called it our ultimate Christmas feast.
I like the way they've not been like, it's the. They're like, I don't care if you disagree. It's ours. We all sat round and we were like, oh, well, we've decided this is what we think is amazing. So
it feels like weirdly personal. Like, they're really trying to like humanize the sandwich. They were like, how can we convey through our Christmas sandwich range that we're all in this together? And some marketing Donny was like, how about we call it our ultimate feast? But they weren't wrong, because ultimately everything is in it. It would be quicker to list what isn't in it. Smoked turkey breast, roasted carrot, British pork, sage and onion stuffing with gravy mayonnaise, cranberry chutney, sweet potato, Savoy cabbage, Brussels sprouts on white bread.
What's a sweet potato got to do with anything? Babe, did you throw the kitchen sink at it? What's the potato got to do with anything? Get her out!
I love that you know Christmas food so well that even me rattling through that list, your brain was like, imposter, ding, ding, ding. Imposter.
And like, festive fraud, sweet potato does not belong in meal. No. Also, who needs a carrot in a sandwich?
Well, I said this to you when I texted you a photo. I said, the carrot makes it look unappealing, but I reserve judgment. And lo and behold, it was the carrot that was its downfall.
Was it? What was this? What kind of form was the sweet potato in?
I think it was like crumbled in like little bits. To be honest, I couldn't actually tell. There was so much in the sandwich.
This is what I mean. People with these Christmas sandwiches need to think like Coco Chanel and take a look at it with its two bits of bread and be like, before this goes into its packet, we just need to take one thing off. And Paul should have taken off the horseradish mayo, all the spinach, and Sainsbury's needs to have gone, actually, we've had eight people look at this. We maybe need to take eight things off it.
Maybe that's why it's called Our Ultimate Christmas Feast, because it was a team of 12 people who all picked their favourite thing.
What poor bitch picked sweet potato? Their mum can't make a roast, so every year they're like, sorry babe, you get a sweet potato with tuna. That's what your Christmas dinner is. Do you know what it is? There's always someone in office that's like, I don't like Christmas food.
Oh.
Who's like, I don't actually like roast dinners. They're too heavy.
Oh, shut up.
All right, Persephone, calm down. Okay, so the carrot was the downfall.
Yeah, so, and I knew it would be. I could just tell looking at it through that little cellophane window. Mm. I was like, you're gonna piss me off. It was cut almost like in ribbons, like you know how you'd peel a carrot.
Yeah.
So off the bat, it was felt like something that should have gone into a food bin, but it was boiled, so cold boiled ribbon of carrot.
Not roasted.
I don't think it was.
No glaze.
No glaze.
No.
You know when carrots have been pre-peeled and packaged, they get that weird, and you're going to think I'm nuts, but they get like a public toilet taste.
Yeah, it tastes like toilet cleaner. It's really vinegary. It's because they start to break down. This is why I don't buy them, because if you keep them like past like a second when they're okay, they literally, because they've already been peeled, they're releasing off their enzymes, so they start to break down.
So yeah, so first of all, didn't like the taste of that, but the ultimate betrayal was that because it was this big long ribbon, as soon as you like eat a little bit of it, it pulled the whole rest of the sandwich out, and I literally
like lizard tongue.
Honest to God, like I pulled like half a sandwich onto my lap, and there's still cranberry stuffing on the floor.
There's a weird sweet potato crumble in your boots.
I think it tasted good. There was so much going on. I really don't know. But it just like, sans carrot, it was good flavours. And I think it was the gravy mayo that made it taste almost like, almost a bit barbecue-y, if that makes sense.
No, it does. Yeah.
But yeah, the carrots in it are just unforgivable. Mm. I loved it for its wackiness, but definitely room for improvement on the our ultimate of Christmas feast. Have you eaten any Christmas chocolate this week?
Malteser reindeer.
Nice.
10 out of 10. Love them. You know, they're a classic for a reason. That's why they come out every year, because they're delicious.
I coincidentally tried the Malteser truffles because I thought, let's go out with a bang.
Yeah.
They're like the Celebrations Malteser.
Yes, but just a box of just all those.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And bigger.
Are they good?
Yeah. Absolutely no remorse there. What's your delivery of the week?
I got a pasta delivery from a delivery company called Non a Tonda, which is like an independent company. They just deliver in London, run by a couple. And they have like a, if you sign up now, your first two boxes are 50% off. So I thought I would. And our pasta kits are like really popular at the minute. And it was delicious.
What pasta did you go for?
So I ticked the I eat meat and seafood. So you don't get to choose your pasta. They just make two types of pasta every week and send that out. So everybody gets it. So it's done really quickly. So my delivery was, I think the delivery's on a Wednesday, but I got an email at like midnight on Tuesday to be like, your pasta's been made. You'll have it soon.
Oh my God. That's like, you know, when Domino's are like, we're preparing your pizza.
Yes, it's literally just like that. But it was like really great. So I had peachy pasta. It's like a thick spaghetti. And it is made traditionally just made with semolina and water. So it's quite coarse and like chewy. But that worked really well because the sauce it came with was a lamb and fennel ragu. It was heaven.
Oh, ragu is good. Lamb is good. Fennel is good.
It was delicious. Like so, so nice. Good portion. It was nice. It was like rich. You didn't need like loads, but it was a great portion. And I really enjoyed it. And I think if you're looking for like a nice lockdown treat, it'd be a really good thing to do. If anyone wants my code, you get your first four boxes at half price. So message me. I'll give you my code.
None spawn. Cara's just generous.
I'm just generous. Have my code and get some free discount. But yeah, I'd really recommend it if you like a little surprise midweek treat.
That sounds phenomenal.
Yes.
Shall we report some foodie news?
Yes, please.
I feel like we just need to get this out there. New Nigella.
Nigella Lawson is back on our screens. And boy, what a queen.
This week she released her first episode of Cook, Eat, Repeat, which is the accompaniment to the book of the same name. It's so good to have her back.
Honestly, we just needed her.
Like, now more than ever.
Give the people what they want.
I feel like we've had a little, it's that thing, like, someone's put the energy out to the universe because Trump got defeated.
Yeah.
Pfizer have got a vaccine. And Nigella's released a new cooking show.
And Nigella is on our screens cooking fish fingers. Like, who engineered this?
It's the Holy Trinity.
Honestly, someone is out there being like, do you know what? We should cut them some slack.
I watched it last night, so it was fresh in my mind. Mm. She's just the queen of the side cutaway when she, like...
I'm obsessed with it.
Her profile to, like, camera is just like she's... It just every sentence is like she's letting you in on a secret.
Yes.
And it's just like, tell me your juicy cooking secrets, Nigella.
Honestly, it was when she was making that curry and she just, and the camera was really close on her profile watching her stir something, and she just turns to it and she goes, now add your coconut milk. Never light. I beg of you. And I was like, she begs of me. Nigella is, she begs me to never use light coconut milk. I will throw it from my rooftop if I have any in my cupboard. Nigella begs of me. And when she was stirring, she was like, and salt liberally. And then she just looked up and she went, never knowingly undersalted. And I was like, oh, put it on a shirt, put it on a bag. I'll buy it all. I'll buy it all.
What I liked that I picked up was she said, this needs to be carpeted with coriander.
Honestly, my dream.
The only correct measure of coriander is a carpet of coriander.
Carpet of coriander.
A Persian rug of cilantro.
One of those pulled fluffy rugs.
A shag pile of...
A shag carpet of coriander.
Have you seen that her leopard print knife she used has gone viral?
I have. I'm obsessed with it. The next day she was like, here are your answers. Honestly, you can't taste the banana skin. Two, the knife I bought years ago. I'm so sorry.
Well, I saw that The Independent have written a whole article about this knife. They've actually listed like a couple of things, a couple of utensils that she's used before, and the sales have consequently increased exponentially.
Of course.
One of them was a Nordic Ware Heritage Bundt cake tin.
I remember it well.
And a raspberry pink KitchenAid mixer. Yeah, and the former experienced a fourfold rise in sales, whilst sales of the mixer soared by 55% at John Lewis.
It's just like a really simple paring knife, and it's just like a leopard print knife, and it's just amazing. But she even tweeted and like tagged them and said, time to bring it out again, I think. And I was like, this is going to go down a storm. And the banana skin was the other viral thing of the episode.
Oh God, yeah, we've got to talk about that, because apparently now we eat banana skins.
So this wasn't my first time seeing a banana skin cooked. I have previously seen it cooked by Nadir Hussain, previous winner of the Bake Off, who in lockdown one was doing lots of low waste recipes. And she said that you can turn them into like pulled pork. But now it's been put in a curry. And Nigella's like, it's like aubergine skin. I'm doubting everything I knew.
Oh, something about it makes me really uncomfortable. I don't know. I'm just... you know what? I'll just have to try it.
I'm not a banana fan, to be honest.
See, I love bananas, but it's just more the, like, the mental block.
Yeah.
It's like someone being like, oh, you can lick bins now. That's cool.
Did you know you can lick bins now?
I mean, it's also been big on TikTok as well.
Has
it? Banana skin at the moment. Yeah. That TikTok vegan chef, I can't remember the name of, but he cooks the skins of most things, but the banana one, I was like, you're what now?
You're what? Yeah. Look, if someone can do it and tell me how it actually, like, I'm sure it tastes fine. Otherwise, all these people wouldn't be doing it. I think it is just like a mental block.
Yeah,
thing.
It's the mental. It's like discognizant.
It's like eating things with faces for you.
Yeah. Oh. Shelled prawns, my nemesis.
Yeah.
So yeah, the Nigella effect. Our banana skin's about to become a must eat.
Oh, do you know what? I don't doubt her. Don't doubt the power of her. Don't doubt the power within her and the influence she has over the British public. I'm sure next Christmas we'll be seeing a banana skin baguette.
Oh, whoa. I think that'll be sick.
In further plant-based food news, fast food giant McDonald's have finally announced that they're introducing a line of plant-based meat alternatives in 2021 called McPlant, which I love. So they previously tested out a plant-based burger in some stores in Canada with a Beyond Meat burger. However, it's not clear who's going to be supplying the fake meat products now.
I wonder if they did it long enough to like work out the secret and then are like, we've developed our own McPlant.
Barclays have forecasted that the consumption of the meat alternatives might be worth $106 billion by 2029.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like there's quite a few contenders in the like most accurate and most tasty fake meat burger. Have you heard before of that one, which is the burger that bleeds?
Yeah, I have. Is that the Impossible Burger?
I think it might be, yeah. I think they serve it at Mildred's, perhaps.
Oh, maybe, yeah. But, like, Burger King do a plant-based burger, and KFC obviously do, like, the fake chicken one with corn. And, yeah, lots of other chains have kind of, and lots of other burger joints have really started doing it. So McDonald's is kind of late to the game.
Yeah, and they can't have been late because they were thinking up a really good name.
No, I know.
I saw Eater wrote about it. And they called it the Boaty McBoat face of fake meat.
It kind of is. It's like McPlant.
Yeah, they're not winning any awards for creativity there.
No, it's not. So that's exciting news. I'm sure vegetarians everywhere will be rejoicing.
In other fast food news, have you seen the new Burger King ad stunt that they've done?
Please fill me in.
This is such like classic fast food advertising. Big sort of faux tongue-in-cheek vibes. But they've released a statement which has in bold letters, order from McDonald's. And then it goes on to say, we never thought we'd be asking you to do this, just like we never thought we'd be encouraging you to order from KFC, Subway, Domino's, Pizza Hut, Five Guys, Greg's, Taco Bell, Papa John's, or Leon. Leon is such a wild card.
Leon. Just because they technically do a burger.
Oh, is that why?
I think so, yeah. Maybe. They count as fast food, I think, Leon too.
I mean, fine. Or any of the other independent food outlets, too numerous to mention here. In short, from any of our sister food chains, fast or not so fast. We never thought we'd be asking you to do this, but restaurants employing thousands of staff really need your support at the moment. So if you want to help, keep treating yourself to tasty meals through home delivery, takeaway or drive-through. And then at the end, they've said, getting a Whopper is always best, but ordering a Big Mac is not such a bad thing.
They're hardly strapped for cash, are they, Burger King?
Well, no, exactly. It's normally with those kind of things, normally with like the classic fast food provocateur advertising, it's at least a little bit clever, but I feel like this is so like smarmy.
It's a bit like, we're better than everybody else because we're saying that you should buy from everybody else.
Yeah, I guess it's to like encourage brand trust. But in the Guardian article, they've included a tweet which says, thank you, multi-billion-dollar company, for your incredibly heartfelt and sincere comment that isn't totally an obvious ploy at increasing goodwill through an empty gesture by planting the seed that BK doesn't completely suck.
I think that the other thing is, like, if they were actually doing something heartfelt and, like, good for the economy, they'd be being like to people, order a Burger King, or if we're not in your area, order from somewhere local.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, order from, like, your local burger place. Order from, like, your local Turkish. Order from, like, the Chinese that's run by that nice family that your kids go to school with. Like, that's actually would be the heartfelt thing to do. It wouldn't be like, if you can't get a Burger King, get a McDonald's. It'd be like, no, take a walk to the bakery and, like, buy that nice lady's apple cake. Like, that's actually the nice thing to do.
Yeah, it's saying, like, go to one of these other massive multinational chains.
Ah, oh, what a great idea, as if people hadn't thought of that before. Buying from a well-known brand.
They've said it parallels the classic 1947 film Miracle on 34th Street, where Santa gets New York department stores and Macy's and Gimbel's to each recommend shopping at their rival, which act wins undying consumer loyalty. I don't see it catching on personally. They will be running attack ads again next year.
Yeah, exactly.
I just don't think it's that creative.
No, it's not. It's not clever, is it?
No.
However, I've got some news that is clever.
Go on.
A pub has installed a landline phone just yards from its outdoor bar in order to get around the latest coronavirus restrictions.
I loved this story so much. It's so brilliant.
The Red Lion and Sun in Highgate, North London, has made the change in order to respond to the government's U-turn on allowing customers to order takeaway drinks in person. So with this second lockdown, pubs could be open selling takeaway pints, but you have to order like before you get to the bar. So the idea being that they're going to have to like pay to set up some like app ordering service or online ordering service.
I guess the premise is that somewhere that had like really big volumes, it's obviously going to be quicker to get people in and out if they've already ordered, everything's ready.
Yeah.
But like that would only be useful if it was like a festival. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's the thing. It's like, it's not summer anymore. There's not going to be huge crowds of people waiting at pubs to get a takeaway pint to stand in the freezing cold rain. Yeah. It just seems like an odd extra rule. So
I mean, it's just another one of those things that the government clearly hasn't thought out very well, and now people are being geniuses and coming up with ingenious ideas.
So
that make great news stories like this.
Honestly, it's so funny. So they've got this whole like little bar set outside and a big sign that says, don't forget to pre-order your drinks. And they've just got a phone in the car park, and you go up and you like just go straight through, like you just go straight through to the bar. And yeah, as long as they're ordering by phone, app or website. So people just literally pick up the phone in the car park and like, un pint, please. And then like you put it down. Walk around the corner, get your pint, and then go walk around the cemetery.
Pay your respects.
So the landlord of the pub is called Mr. Ball. Mr. Ball said, as soon as number 10 announced the pre-order law, he ordered the phone on Amazon and had it up and running the next day. The landlord said he was baffled that people could buy beer from a supermarket but had to pre-order from a pub.
The beer phone is like a weird upside down version of Deal or No Deal. Except when the banker calls, it's the beer man.
Yeah, so that's one of my, that's like probably my favourite news story this week.
Yeah, I loved it.
I think it's so funny. And there's just like a whole like phone cord just like running the whole way through the car park, which I find hilariously like just low budget and great. It's very British.
So British. It's such like an old school landline as well.
Yeah.
Good strategy from the Red Lion and Sun.
We love to see it.
Speaking of government U-turns. A U-turn on a U-turn on a U-turn on a U-turn. That's U-turned so much, they're now just going in the same direction they started. Marcus Rashford, who coincidentally also plays football. School meal campaign has again pressured the government into a U-turn on food policy. The Manchester United and England footballer acknowledged his place in a long line of campaigners, charities and volunteers when reacting to the new £400 million plus funding package for winter that the government squeaked out over the weekend.
Squeaked out.
This is an article from Eater London. Rashford said to the campaigners, charity workers and volunteers, teachers, care workers, key workers that have fought for this level of progress for years, thank you. This is your victory. Never underestimate the role you've all played. I'm just honoured to be on this journey with you.
That's so nice. What a nice man.
Such a man. So there's £406 million that will be split into council funding for free school meals and other food voucher programmes, as well as a £16 million funding increase for food banks, which have been massively overstretched. And of course, by the Conservative Party's own austerity policy dating back to 2010.
What's sad, I think, about this is I feel like that the fact that the original no got loads more press than the fact they've done a U-turn and now provided the funding, which just shows like they can find the money for things. When there's been huge public pressure, they can find the money for things. But maybe they don't want us to know that they can find the money for things. Like, famously, they're like, there's no magic money tree. But when the whole country kicks off about something, they do find the money for it. But they just keep it on the down low.
Like, oh my God, who put this forest of money here?
Yeah. Oh my God, who planted all these money oaks? She didn't even realise.
My dream garden.
I don't think Marcus Rashford's got enough credit because he's just like, people put so much pressure on them and I think they've just kept it on the sly.
Yeah, it's hard to say because it's a bit chicken and egg because it's kind of like, is it because of the pressure that they've come up with it? Or is it just, as you said, they don't want to let on that they'll only give people basic human rights if you provoke it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they don't want to let on that, oh yeah, it's totally something like within our power, but you're going to have to beg for it first.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's just a bit spish that none of them came out and were like, do you know what? We've actually changed our mind on this. We apologise. We made a really bad call. We actually do think kids should eat. They've just been like, quick, give the money to the Trussell Trust and let's get on with making more cuts elsewhere. But then, like, they did find all that money. Surprise, surprise. Mm. Surprise, surprise.
You're right. Very, very sus.
Bit sus, you know? And good job, Marcus Rashford.
Yeah, truly, like, a living, breathing angel. Another controversy, which for reasons that will become very obvious, it's not quite so critical to society at all, but I still think worth discussing. The toaster steak.
I've not seen this or heard of this. I've managed to like keep this away from my field of vision.
I had to stop myself from instantly sending it to you because I needed your outrage because I wanted to save it for now.
Yeah, this has passed me by.
Like, you know that video of Stormy where she's like, patience. It kept popping up and I was like, don't send it to Cara. Save it.
Okay, so can I watch it now?
Yeah, please watch it. I'd love your reaction.
Okay, listeners, hold the line.
Just to clarify, the headline of this is TikToker horrifies everyone by cooking a steak in the toaster.
Stop it. Unseasoned. I'm sorry, what did I just view with my eyes? Toasters are for dry goods. No. Also, what the hell is that sauce that she's covering them with?
Literally looks like a bowl of catsick.
It took her 20 minutes to cook them on the highest temperature. Babe, why? It'd take you like 4 minutes in a pan. On a medium heat as well.
University of Southern California student Juliet, who describes herself as a chef.
As a what?
As a chef?
Did you just say she describes herself as a chef? TikTok steak toaster girl describes herself as a chef?
I wonder what she's studying to give her those grounds.
What's she going to do next? Make me hollandaise in a kettle?
Don't give her any ideas.
Juliet, babe, this is not for you. Turn this off right now.
She tells Metro, I was cooking a waffle in my toaster and thought about how interesting it would be to cook another food item in there.
That girl needs to go to a lecture. Get a life. Read a book.
I had 2 pieces of steak in my freezer and knew they would fit perfectly. Oh, cooked from frozen as well. There's layers to this fuckery.
Well, no wonder it took 20 minutes.
Took about 20 minutes to cook on the highest temperature. Juliet then tasted the finished product, saying how much she enjoyed it. The steak was amazing. I'm not just saying that to prove everybody wrong, but it actually cooked the steak perfectly. I ate half of the steak and gave the other half to my roommate, who enjoyed it as well. So yeah, the video has been watched by 1.6 million people. One person commented, I just watched a crime happen.
I would agree. Call the police.
She said she hopes her video inspires more people to cook in a toaster, but like, I mean, if you think you can set a bit of toast on fire.
And also, everyone's also, I'm sure, you know how it's like the story of the dead dog in the suitcase in the tube station? Everyone like has heard it from someone that knows someone.
I've literally not heard this story. What?
Everyone knows a story, and I got told it as well. And I was like, oh my God, like years ago, that was like, somebody was looking after a dog sitting, and while they were dog sitting, the dog dies, and they don't know how to take the dead dog back to the friend's house, so they put the dead dog in a suitcase and they take it on the tube, and when they're hauling the dead dog up some tube stairs at like Old Street, a man's like, can I help you with your bag? And the girl's like, oh yeah, thanks, and he grabs the suitcase and runs off with it. It's like, as a crime. And then you're like, oh my God, that man's just stolen a dead dog. He's going to get home and open that suitcase and be like, there is a dead dog in that suitcase. But it's kind of like the Skittles up the fanny story that everyone knows someone whose sister it was.
I'm having sensory overload of how much is...
You know those stories? You know the stories that everyone is like, everyone's like, oh my God, but I actually, this is true because it's this girl I works with cousin. And you're like, don't know. But the dead dog story. What was my point? Oh, I remember. I felt like I felt like
Where am I?
What is this? What are we doing here? Again, no one asked for this. I feel like everyone knows a story of, like, at a house party, someone put pizza in a toaster and blew the fuse for the whole house.
Okay. Okay, that's the link.
That's the link. You know, everyone's like, I was at a house party and the boy tried to microwave a frozen pizza and, like, it set the house on fire or, like, it blew the fuse in the whole house. This is going to inspire a whole new wave of those stories of people being like, my friend cooked steak in the toaster at 3 a.m. after a big night out and set the whole halls on fire. Like,
the whole thing is a mess.
That's a real shocker.
TikTok cooking strikes again.
So much criticism from us still.
Yeah, it's been a critical week, and it's going to get more critical because we're going to do some roasts.
It's time to roast.
What case are you bringing to the table, Cara?
Yet again, it's truly pathetic. But I feel it strongly. It's come up the past 2 weeks in our Christmas sandwich endeavours.
A field-related finding.
Yeah, it's my research. I've gone out into the field, I've collected my data, and I've compiled a report, and my findings are, we use too much mayo in our sandwiches.
Example?
Just take a look at a tuna and sweet corn sandwich in a shop. What colour is it? Is it mainly white? Yes, it is, because it's got so much mayonnaise in there. They're too wet, they're too soggy, and mayonnaise in this country is not very good. So it's just like, it doesn't have a lot of flavour. And so it's just like, overtakes all the other flavours in the sandwich. And I'm not on board with it.
It's just an emollient to get it down your gullet.
Like, honestly, yeah, I think it's like putting in like a slippery, like a slippery dinghy to get down a log flume. Like, everything's just covered in mayonnaise.
That's the only way I'm going to describe eating from now on.
Yeah.
Get a slippery dinghy down my log flume.
Honestly.
Oh, God, that sounds so bad.
Santa's yum nut coming up again. Put that yum nut away, Alexanne. Oh, my God, the yum nut is the dinghy. Bum in, hold on to the handles, ride that all the way down the esophagus.
Like we said last week, the wet-ass baguette is a real thing.
It's a real problem for me. And I know some people like really mayonnaise-y food. But, guys, get to know some other flavours.
I've got to say, I'm a big mayo fan as a French girl, but there's something, there's a reason why it brings out the ick in so many people. And I think the overuse of it makes perfect sense.
That's the thing, it can add just like the perfect amount of like softness and tang to something, but too much of it is like gelatinous and like overpowers everything else. It's like my worst sandwich, the thing I would never put in my mouth, is that cheese and onion sandwich that's like grated cheese and grated onion all in mayonnaise. And I'm like, oh, that's just far. It's just, to me, it's awful. But just like, let's just tone down the mayonnaise and sandwiches a bit. If you're putting lots of other nice ingredients in, especially in Christmas sandwiches, because I don't eat my Christmas dinner with a big pile of mayo.
Very true.
And if you do, you should get in the bin. Sorry, straight out. I'm not a fan of the soggy sarnie.
Totally valid roast. Mm. I wouldn't even say that's a roast because I think that's just a pain point.
Yeah, it's just some feedback for the sandwich industry in general, to be honest. It's like conditioner, a little goes a long way.
Depends how long your mane is, though.
You've got a whole baguette.
May over it.
Oh, lovely.
I thought I would end the series with a final government roast, and I'm not going to dwell too long on it because there's not much to say, but Boris is banning junk food advertising online in the bid to tackle obesity, because apparently that's what's doing it, is online ads.
When I turn my computer off, I still know chips exist.
Schrodinger's Big Mac.
It's not like if I'm not seeing the adverts for it, I forget that burgers are a thing.
I think he's tried to insinuate that, like, this is as a result of his COVID, and he's tried to connect it all to his weight and stuff. Yeah. But, like, for him to go, my COVID junk food ads online is just, like, such a wild leap.
And also, is he saying that he is overweight because he sat at home every night literally, when he should have been looking at treasury reports? Instead, like, bargain bucket ads keep popping up, and he was like, fuck this, I'll order another bargain bucket.
Oh my god, we've cracked it. That explains so much of this whole thing that's gone on.
Everyone in his sandwich is like, have you done that? And he's just there with his face in a boneless banquet, like, I'm sorry, Julie, I didn't do it. He's like, must email Rishi Sunak back. Ooh, cheese, nacho cheese bites. The cabinet meeting opens with, did you know you can actually get a nugget share box? I was like, Boris, put Ablock on, please. You're going to run this country into the ground.
And look what he's done. Exactly. Oh my god, this makes so much sense.
This is true. This is actually the news.
I bet he's got, like, the most malware infested laptop that's like, he, like, downloaded LimeWire in 2010 and he's just constantly getting, like, pop-ups for, like, zingers all day long.
Zingers! Tower meals! He's got best kebab saved at his phone. Like, it's just, one, it's just so insulting, but two, like, just restart your computer once in a while.
It also, very telling, because ads are targeted. So,
yes, you're so right.
So if he's getting lots of ads, it's because he's looking at lots of fast food.
Oh my god, we've actually cracked it. We've actually cracked it.
I'm going to the Independent tomorrow.
Yeah, you should. Also, it's very, like, boomer logic to be like, people are overweight because they're on their laptop late into the night ordering junk food. It's like, mate, have you heard of this thing called a smartphone? Like, have you heard of Deliveroo? Like,
yeah.
We cracked it. We've realised what's happened now. But Boris, babe, get your face out the bargain buckets or own it, babe. We don't mind. We've all been there. You've got a stressful job.
Case open and closed, Johnson.
So, thank you so much for listening to the first season of Sunday Roast.
We hope you have enjoyed listening to the insanity of our conversations as much as we've enjoyed gassing on.
The rantings and the ravings.
If you did, be sure to leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. We've yet to have a written review.
Oh, so if you've got 5 minutes, if any of you are still on furlough, there's truly no excuse. Get on and write us a review. Furlough's been extended, guys. Get on and write us a review.
I'm quite keen to write one for myself, but I'm a bit worried it's going to show up my username. I'm like, oh my god, these girls are amazing. Alexanne.
Alexanne Hacker, co-founder of Dope and Demi and the Sunday Roast podcast.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram because that's where you'll get any updates.
Yeah, and I think we're still going to continue doing some, like, if we get any more, like, good deliveries or good Christmas sandwiches, we might occasionally share a review on there, on our stories.
Sounds like a plan.
Worth looking out for that.
And also our other foodie content, because we are a supper club and we did do that before this.
Once upon a time before a pandemic. Otherwise, we will say congrats for making it halfway through Locky 2. And have a lovely week.
Look after yourselves, stay hungry, and keep your steaks out the toaster.
Bye.
Bye.